Okay, so like I said, we're going to finish off with an introduction into queuing and see how the queue relates to these birth-death models that we've been looking at. Later on we'll sort of continue with the analysis of queues. Okay, so if we look at the queue from a network performance, we can think of it as a single node modeled in isolation from others in the network. Again, we've seen that what happens at that node is very important for performance. This is where the packets are transmitted, where they're backed up, etc. Okay. So what we assume happens at this point in the network is that we have arrivals, so we can think of customers, like that could be packets, calls, requests. And then these arrivals are going to arrive in some random fashion. They receive service for a random amount of time, and then they leave the system. Okay. So we're going to assume that there's a single queue, but possibly you can have multiple servers. Okay. So possibly there's different resources that can satisfy whatever the arriving packet's need is. Okay. So, one thing we'll look at is switching. So you'd have a bunch of lines out, and again, as long as one of those is available, your packet can be sent out. Okay. So, arriving customers encounter this queue, and the queue can have different characteristics. There may be no spaces. So in that case, if a customer arrives to find the server busy, it just departs again with no service. You can have finite space. So this is similar. Except now you can have waiting, but at some point if that fills up, then the arrivals just are dropped. Or what's handy a lot of times, just as an assumption, that you can have an unlimited amount of space. Okay. So again, we have to make an assumption about what happens if customers arrive to a full queue. So we assume that they're lost. Okay. So we have an arrival rate, and we have then a service rate that could be aggregated over multiple servers, but there's some average, something governing the average amount of time it takes to process any given request. So one condition that we require is that our arrival rate, lambda, be less than our service rate, mu. If you have a finite queue, it really doesn't matter because you only take in sort of an upper bounded amount of work. But if you have an infinite queue and you don't assume this sort of a, make this sort of assumption, then what's going to happen is that your queue is going to grow and grow and grow. Okay. So Kendall's notation is used then to represent all of the different components of the queue. So we assume that there A is our distribution on inter-arrival times. And again, frequently we're going to assume that that's exponential. B is the distribution on service times, so how you get jobs out of the system. Sometimes we'll assume that's exponential as well, but we can assume other distributions as well. Okay. So there are some understood notation for various commonly used distributions. Again, if you have exponential distribution, that's referred to as M. Okay, so that could be either Markov or memoryless, denoting again our Poisson process. D is deterministic or constant or fixed. EK would be Erlang, okay, of type K. GI would be general independent. So we don't know a lot about it, except for that the inter-arrival times are independent. Okay, and G then would be general with no such conditions. Okay. I'll do it in the order he does it in. Weird. So, oh, okay, never mind. So moving on, M denotes the number of servers in the system, and again, we assume that each server acts in the same way, that there's the other indistinguishable one from the other. K is the storage capacity of the overall system, so that accounts for the number of queue places in the queue plus the number of servers you have. Okay. If K is not listed, then it's assumed that you just meant it was infinite. And P is the number of the size of the population of customers that can arrive into the system. So how many users you have in the system. Again, a lot of times we just assume that this is infinite. And so if it's not listed, you're assuming that you have an infinite number of customers. And finally, we have the queuing discipline, and that determines the order in which the queue is served. So if you have customers waiting, then how are they processed by the server? OK, And again, there's a number of different options. The most obvious one is first come, first served, so FCFS, also known as first in, first out. Okay, so you'll see either FCFS or FIFO, FIFO. Okay, and you know, again, this is probably the most common. You know, things are served in the order in which they arrive. Again, if there's no specification, then it is assumed that you have this first-come, first-served discipline. Last-come, first-served, also known as LIFO, last-in, first-out. Okay, so that's sort of dealing with a stack, for instance. So whatever's put on last is what's taken off first. Another, well, probably more important for us would be a priority queuing discipline. And here, different customers will belong to different priority classes, and you serve customers according to that priority then. So you'll serve all of the highest priority class first, then the next, then the next. And so again, as networks have evolved and look to provide quality of service, for instance, where you want your video to get out before your file transfer, then you do have these sorts of disciplines cropping up. Okay, so just some examples. One that we'll, again, like because it's quite easy is the MM1 queue. So here you have exponential inter-arrival times, exponential server times, and a single server. Okay. We assume that it's an infinite length queue then, since we didn't say anything, and an infinite population. We're also assuming a first-in, first-out service discipline. In this case, we usually denote the arrival rate as lambda, so as we've been doing throughout the lecture, and then the service rate we'll refer to as mu. MMM would be similar, except now we have M servers. Okay. So here, again, we'll denote the arrival rate as lambda. Now, we'll use mu to denote the service rate for a single server. So the overall service rate is going to be M times mu. We can add on a k to that, so now we have a finite queue. The number of spaces in the queue, again, is going to be k minus the number of servers we have. MG1, we'll look at some properties of these MG1 queues as well. And again, we're assuming our exponential inter-arrivals. We've made our argument that that's not a bad thing to do. But now we say that we don't know anything particular about about the service distribution. Okay, and so what we can do is we can think of, well, what questions can we ask about our queues? And, you know, again, they're fairly simple systems in a lot of ways. We're just essentially counting. Now, we were looking at fewer birth processes. Now you have births and deaths, so your values can go down as well as up. Okay. So, when a packet customer arrives, your count goes up, and up and up, and then when they depart, the count goes down. And again, we can think of this. This defines our counting process, our stochastic process, and you can have any number of traces within time t. Typically, then, we're going to be asking questions about averages. So what's the average number of customers in the system? What's the average time, perhaps, they spend in the system? Okay. So, again, we've got this behavior, which is caused by the arrival and departure processes. And evolves through time. Okay, and we have we've defined a random variable n, which is the number in the system at any given time. Now, assuming that our process is ergodic, so that we can actually define the probability of being in any state, then we define pk to be the probability that n equals k. Okay, and so you can define a distribution on the states, and hence that number n. So again, we can look at this as a birth-death process, and assuming it exists, then we can define this steady state distribution, the probability of being in any given state k, or having exactly k customers in the system. Whenever we return to this, we'll see how we actually can calculate those probabilities. Okay. So for now, we're just assuming that this probability assignment exists, this PMF exists, so we can assign for each number n, we can assign some probability that you're in n, and again, that's going to apply to when we are in this steady state condition. At this point, you can start asking about, for instance, averages. So what's the average number of customers in the system? And since we have a distribution, we can just work on that distribution. We also like to be able to somewhat quantify the load on the system. So how busy is our system going to be? And we have a number of factors that will characterize this. The first is traffic intensity, which is a measure of the demand offered to any of M servers by arriving traffic. Okay. And our traffic intensity is denoted rho, and if you have m servers, then rho is lambda over m mu. Again, if you have a single server, then you would get rho was lambda over mu. You might have seen this and seen this definition. Okay, so one way of looking at this is that any customer, as they arrive, will need 1 over mu seconds of service on average. So if you have a service rate, then 1 over that rate gives you your average required service time. Okay. The arrival rate is lambda, so if you're splitting the work over our M servers, then you'll get lambda of each single server gets lambda over M customers per second, and again that those the lambda over N need this 1 over mu rate, so you get a required work rate in that way. Okay. So, a requirement for system stability is that this rho be strictly less than 1. And that just falls out from the fact if things are arriving faster than you can serve them, then your queue will just grow and grow and grow, and that violates our ergodicity, which says we should always return to our original state. Okay, now the offered load is a measure of it's a measure of the work arriving for the system, and so we sort of abstract away from the number of servers that we have and just say that our offered load is lambda over mu. Okay, so if you only have 1 server, the offered load and the traffic intensity are the same. Okay. If you have multiple servers, then the offered load and the traffic intensity obviously vary by that factor of m. The interpretation of the offered load is it's the amount required to keep a single server busy, or how busy would a single server be kept? Okay, and the units are erlangs. Okay, so if you have multiple servers, you can have an offered load of greater than 1. Again, it will just denote that you're going to keep more than 1 server busy. Okay. And again, if you've only got 1, then the 2 quantities are the same. Okay. Our throughput can be defined as the mean number of customers processed in some unit of time. Okay. Or we can also say that it's equivalent to the rate of departure of the customers from the system. Now, assuming that your system is stable, then, and lambda is less than mu, then the throughput is equal to the arrival rate. Okay. So essentially everything that arrives is sent out. And you can't essentially go at any greater rate. Okay. Okay, so that's worked for infinite queue length, so if you allow things to sort of wait and be processed. If we have a finite capacity, then some of what arrives may not exit the system. It may just be lost. Okay. So in that case, our throughput can be less than our arrival rate. So things are going two directions. They're either going into the system and they'll leave eventually, or they're essentially going off and being dropped. Okay. In lost systems, we usually define an effective rate, and that's the arrival rate at which customers actually enter the system so they don't get dropped, okay? So the rate at which they're joining the queue. Okay, throughput is sometimes normalized according to what's the best possible you could have. So it's the rate of departures that you're getting, lambda, over what's the maximum possible rate. That maximum possible rate is going to be tied to how fast you can serve. Okay. This is sometimes called efficiency. Or in this case, utilization. So if we start, we can look at a single server queuing system. So just think about the one server case. And utilization is the fraction of time that server is kept busy. And so that's going to be the average service time divided by the inter-arrival time. Okay, so again, you're going to, each arrival takes a certain amount of time to be serviced, and then there's a time spent waiting for the next arrival. Okay. And so, in that case, again, the waiting time would be wasted time. And if you have multiple servers, you can just expand that by thinking of the amount of time that the system then is kept busy relative to your arrival rate. Okay, again, if you have loss, not all the arrivals are accepted. You want that measure should be relative to your effective arrival rate. Okay, because again, the system is being kept busy by what's actually there, not what's been dropped. And so that, again, can be compared to our traffic intensity, so we can have an effective intensity, so an effective offering to the system. And again, we see that that's the same. So the traffic intensity and the system utilization are equivalent. Again, the offered load, which is does not take loss into account. It's just a measure of sort of a single. So it's just a more abstract unit, then it will differ. Okay. Okay. So for single server systems, the utilization is 1 minus the probability that you have nothing to be doing. Okay. So those are measures of sort of system characteristics, sort of how can you keep the system busy, or how do you measure that busyness. We can also look at the characteristics of customers, so we can look at things like response times. So this is the total time a customer spends in the system, and we'll limit that to in the queue or at the server. Okay. Obviously, this T is a random variable depending on your underlying distribution, your underlying trace. Okay. If we take the average, then that gives us the average delay in the system. So in general, how long will it take it for a customer to be enter the system, then exit the system. That again, that has two components, the time spent in the queue and the time in the server. The time spent in the queue is referred to as waiting time. Unsurprisingly, it's the time you're waiting, not getting service. And then the time spent in the server is referred to as service time. So we can look again at average waiting time, so W bar, and it's clear that your average response time or average delay is your average waiting time plus the average service time, which is 1 over mu. Okay. So we'll look at one final result relating some of these quantities that's known as Little's Law. And one of the most interesting thing about Little's Law is that it makes no assumptions about the distributions of the arrival or service process beyond their averages, or sort of beyond the arrival rates. Okay. And what it says is that the average number of customers in the system is the arrival rate times the average time spent in the system. And that's if you squint at it, that makes some sense. If one customer is in the system, how many are sort of arriving during their service? And that should be related to the size of the system. So we look at the arrivals and departures in the system. Okay, so in order to prove this, so alpha t is the number of arrivals in some period t, and delta t is the number of departures in the same period t, and obviously, delta has to, the delta curve has to lie underneath the alpha curve because you can't have more departures than you've had arrivals. The difference at any time t, the difference between alpha and delta is the number of customers you have in the system at that time. So we let N of t be a stochastic process, and representing the number of customers at any given time, and it's equal to alpha t minus delta t. Okay, so gamma t, we define as the total time all customers have spent in the system up to the time t. And if you think about it, then that's given by the difference the horizontal difference between alpha and delta. And so if you add up the area between alpha and delta, you'll get this value gamma t. So if we define lambda t as the average arrival rate during our interval, okay, so we haven't, then lambda t is, we could just explicitly calculate it. It's the number of arrivals divided by the time. T bar of t is the average time spent by a customer in the system over the interval 0t. So gamma t is the total time spent by all the customers, and alpha t then is the number of customers you've had in the system. So again, this gives you an average. Each customer must have spent a certain amount of time. N bar of t is the average number of customers in the system. And again, we can get at that by looking at the total amount of time spent in the system. And that must have been divided up over a certain number of customers. Okay, and so dividing by t will give you that number of customers. Okay. So we can combine these three equations to find gamma of t over t, which we know is n bar of t. Okay. And so that's going to be lambda of t times t bar of t. So alpha of t over t times gamma of t over alpha of t. So you're going to end up then with gamma over t. Okay. So that's, so you get n bar of t equals lambda of t over t bar of times, sorry, t bar of t. And then if you take the limit as t goes to infinity, so sort of as we eliminate time, then n bar of t will go to n, n bar, lambda of t goes to lambda, and t goes to t bar. Okay. And so, again, we use no properties of the service distributions. So for any general distribution, this holds true. And it's also not dependent on the number of servers in the system. That sort of gets lumped into how fast, you know, what, how much time you're going to spend in the system. Okay, and so you can apply this to anything where you have sort of an arrival and a service rate. So we can look by anything you have an arrival rate and then an exit. So we can look at the queue alone. So we get the number of, the average number in the queue is the arrival rate times the amount of time, the average amount of time you wait in that queue. Okay. And similarly, the average number in the server, so it's got to be somewhere between 0 and 1, but it's governed by the arrival rate times the time you'd spend in the server, which on, again, on average is 1 over mu. Okay, so you can, anything where you can just sort of define the boundaries of the system, then and measure your arrival rate and your time average, then you can come up with the number in the system. Okay, so we'll wrap up with this last example. And so we have a network here. And we've been sitting there, we've been observing this system. So we have three nodes. We have an arrival rate into the system, and then we've observed the average number of customers at each node, and the load at each node. Okay. So the total delay is going to be delays due to queuing, which is given by our n bars, and then the transmission service delays. Okay. So we can use Little's law to determine the queuing delay. W bar, your average queuing delay is n q divided by lambda. Okay, so there would be a queuing delay for each of these different nodes. And then, lambda is 3, and so we have 2 over 3, 1 over 3, and 2 over 3, so that gives the total amount of time we spend waiting. And then the average time to transmit a packet is 1 over mu. We can relate, we can find mu if we know A and lambda. So A is lambda. And so mu is A over lambda. And so again, we arrive at a figure for that and sum the two of them together to get your total system delay. And so we essentially did that by looking at each piece of this individually. We could have actually done the same thing by looking at the complete system, taking sort of the average, waiting to be the average overall, so 5, and the service rate to be the service rate overall. Okay, so you can either combine, again, as long as you can draw the boundaries and make your observations, then you can apply Little's law. Okay. So that brings us up to, again, having some definition of a queue and some idea of what we're going to try and look at given queues. Again, we did slide here into at the end into this idea that we're, a lot of times what interests us is the stationary behavior. So after time's gone on and things stop changing, the distribution always looks the same, then what can we say? We will continue with that in a couple of, in a few lectures. Next week, we're going to switch gears slightly and start looking at the idea of simulation then. So we've got these stochastic processes, and eventually we're going to analyze a lot of factors for them, but we can also examine them through simulation, and we'll be modeling, using simulation to model things like these queues and sort of define system behavior, observe system behavior, and try and draw some conclusions about what we've observed. Again, switching gears because your assignment requires that you have some idea what a simulation model is. Just to let you guys get started on the assignment, we'll again switch gears and start looking at simulation models for a few weeks. And then, again, we'll return to looking at the properties of stationary queues. Okay, so that's it for today anyway. So have a good weekend, and I'll see you next Friday.